Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jennifer, who is here to speak with us about a very fun fundraiser that she did for the 2016 Bridgewalk season. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hello, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you did for your fundraiser and the inspiration behind it. It was really, really fun to get the report that you sent on to us.
All right. Yeah, I have a little challenge every year coming up with something Bridgewalk-like to do because of my health issues. And one year I walked to my mailbox. That was as far as I got. And another year I floated on a boat under a bridge. And this year, I was trying to come up with something I could do that would be with the theme. And I live on an island that doesn't actually have very many waterways. And I just thought, oh, it's the 15th anniversary. It's on the 15th. How about 15 bridges to walk across?
It's just brilliant, right? Just there it is, being open to the possibilities and life drafted in.
Yeah, it just came to me. Yeah. So what made it really fun was that a lot of people helped me come up with, they told me where I could find bridges because I didn't know where these were. Mm-hmm. So I was, right. I had fun. I had a couple people who even said, I know where a bridge is. You can't go there unless I go there with you. I'll take you. So they came with me.
That's also little secret places you would have never known about.
Exactly. And I discovered one of them was a Zen monastery. And had four beautiful little bridges on it. And another one was a women's retreat writer's center that you can't go on unless you know the right people. And they had some cute little bridges there. My husband, who was a little bit grumbly about driving me around 15 bridges, he ended up having a great time because we were just so excited trying to find these bridges that we started driving around just looking for bridges so we could get our 15.
You know, as you say that, Jennifer, one of the things I love about it is that willingness. So the idea drops in and the willingness to stick with it, right? Because, I mean, I live on an island that doesn't have a lot of waterways. What a silly idea, 15 bridges. We don't have any bridges. Well, I can't do that, right? But instead, just that sense of, well, maybe let's just find out. And then it becomes a way to connect with people, it sounds like.
Exactly. These two people who took me along. It was really fun. It was on that day that all the typhoons were supposed to be here, so there was this little bit of sense of we better get it done before all the trees fall down. And we just had a really fun time, and it was really great that people came along. And we had some fun, you know, interpreting what might be a bridge. Somebody said, well, you should go to the retirement center up here, and while they're playing bridge, crawl under the table. That counts.
Exactly. You know, yeah. It's so fun because one of the things that it highlights is that I think, you know, people talk about something that's so fun during the Bridgewalk season is that it does kind of pull us up out of ourselves. We always talk about that in terms of, you know, gosh, we love so much the folks who were participating with in Cantalumba, and it really inspires us to, you know, do maybe something we wouldn't normally be willing to do or feel comfortable doing. And also that just by the nature of doing a fundraiser, you know, not just writing our own check, but doing a fundraiser, it really does have us connect with people in ways that maybe in our day-to-day life, you know, we're either shy or we're listening to the voices about, you know, all of this or that. But it really gives us the opportunity, and how often, at least in my experience, exactly what you're describing happens is that people love to help. You know, they want to be asked. They love to participate.
Yeah, and I just felt this big sense of connection because of people emailing me and telling me where to find bridges or making jokes about what you could call a bridge, and then people coming with me to go across the bridges, and then my husband and I ending up having so much fun looking for bridges, and then the fact that we're raising money to send clear to Africa for people, I just felt really connected to the group there, too.
Yeah. Well, and that was the other thing, is that it was a very successful fundraiser. You know, people really, sounds like some people participated through helping to find bridges, but a lot of people participated through offering donations.
Yes, I made more this time than any other time I have. It was great.
Wow. Yeah.
And then the other unforeseen event was I had my picture of the 15 bridge walks out when my 10-year-old niece came. I tutor her, and she saw the picture, wanted to know what it was about. Pretty soon we're on the internet, and I'm showing her pictures, and she just ran to her jacket and dumped out all of her money. And then now she's decided that she wants to raise money, and so she started making bread and selling loaves of bread to raise money. And she's already has $40 raised.
Oh, Jennifer. Wow. What
isn't
a beautiful
sweet?
Story. Yes.
Oh.
You know, what I love about it is that you didn't ask her. You know, she's just participating with you in your life and interested in what you're doing, as kids are interested.
Right.
You know, so are adults when we're not listening to the voices. We're just interested in each other's lives and what's going on. And then from that place, she chooses. She wants to participate. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so fun.
I told her that, you know, the kids were being fed one meal a day, and that just got her. She said, I get 3 meals a day and snacks whenever I want.
Yeah.
She just could not. And when she looked at all the pictures of the kids and thought they were so cute, and she kept saying, Jennifer, you should adopt one of these. You should do this monthly adoption thing. So she's just into it.
Well, and, you know, so fun because, shoot, if she keeps doing bread, the two of you could adopt someone together, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I just love it. I just love it. And then, you know, there she gets to have that experience as she's growing up of we're all connected, right? We're all in this together. We all want to help. We all want to participate with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now whenever the updates come, that's a part of our little lesson. We go look at the updates, which he considers
perfect.
The best part, you know.
Yeah.
See what everyone's
that's
doing.
Oh, that's so perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I just want to underline is, you know, you talked at the beginning about, so you have some health challenges. And so, again, it would be easy to just, for each of us, whatever our limitation is, you know, well, I can't do that. Well, I'm too busy. Well, I don't have enough. Well, I'm this kind of person. And what I project is the great joy of having something like this that gives you the invitation to go beyond beliefs and assumptions that you might have around that. And to see that doesn't have to limit how I participate in my life. I get to live my life however I want, regardless of the circumstances of what's going on.
Yeah, that first year was a huge breakthrough for me in that, where, you know, I can walk to my mailbox, and I'm sure people don't care if I'm walking across a bridge or not.
Exactly.
And I just had people send me bridge songs, you know, and they got into that. And it was just
that's
great.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, it was very fun. And yeah. People have are saying, well, you've gone under a bridge and you've gone over a bridge. Now, I think you should get in a hot air balloon next year and go over a bridge, over the top of the bridge.
Over the top of the bridge. There you go. Wow.
Oh, you know, the other connection that happens every time is that people that I don't talk to that much, or they've moved away and we've lost touch, when I do my fundraiser, they send me their news and we connect again.
Isn't
even if
fun?
They don't send me money, they go, oh, yeah, there you are.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yes, it gives us an excuse to connect, which we all want to do.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just connection all around.
Yeah, it really is. Gosh, such a win for everyone.
That's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, Jennifer. It's really inspiring to hear.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's fun to remember how fun that all was and start thinking about next year.
Exactly. I can't wait. I'm rubbing my hands together. And then it's fun, isn't it? Because it becomes all part of the annual tradition. I mean, we now have 15 years of traditions of bridge walks. And so one of the things we were talking about at the physical bridge walk when we were all at the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge together this year was that, you know, there are kids who were teeny tiny, like, you know, in their mom's arms when we first started, who are on their way to college now.
Wow.
So you know, so many traditions like that. So I just thought, you know, one of them is what's Jennifer's fundraiser going to be this year?
No pressure.
It's a growing tradition. Yeah.
It is.
That's great.
It is.
All right. Well,
thank you
so much for being with us, Jennifer.
All right.
Take good care. Okay.
You too. Bye.
Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Jennifer. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I'm inspired by that level of creativity that Jennifer demonstrated.
I know. How about that hot air balloon idea?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything's possible, isn't it?
Yes. And how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's a busy time, big time, and lots
yes.
going on. And, you know, that's
yes.
good because we like to practice. We like to be busy practicing. My favorite quote is the one about being thrown on the scrap heap, you know, from having been used up doing what you feel good about. How's that for
yes.
murdering a quote? But you all know what I mean. And so it's one of those times to feel like, okay, well, that's happening, by golly. So here we are. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I jump into the announcements?
Sure.
Okay. In the wake of the presidential election, many in the Sangha have reached out to practice for perspective. In response, a special call-in practice support, Seeing with the Eyes of Love, is being offered weekdays from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Pacific Time. And for call-in information, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
Yes. And the first show was this morning, is that correct?
It was Monday morning.
Monday.
So we had
okay.
our second one today. Yeah.
Great. Great.
Mm-hmm. And they are posted. I don't have details on that, but that same, you know, Living Compassion source of all information, or probably Ashwini will text you as we're going along and tell you what that is. But I'm pretty sure they are going to be posted so people can tune in who weren't able to tune in live.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
For support for making and keeping commitments around food, especially during the holiday season, sign up now for Practicing Presence with Food, a new group coaching opportunity beginning November 30th. You don't want to miss this opportunity to practice keeping celebrations joyful.
Mm-hmm. Joyful all the way around, huh? Fun
yeah.
without regret.
Fun without regret. That's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class on communication, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program. And start 2017 with lots of great support for practice at the annual New Year's Retreat in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. This popular retreat runs from December 27th to January 1st and features meditation, group discussions, yoga, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Uh-huh. And good food. Did we say good food?
Good food. You know, I was just thinking that as I was reading the list. Where's the good food? And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Yes, indeed.
And I do have the information, as you suggested. It's just like magic how that information comes in, isn't it? The recordings are available at love.livingcompassion.org.
Oh, that's nice. Looking through the eyes of love, love.livingcompassion.org. Well, that's nice. Yeah, it's fun. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen in or, well, I know you haven't participated because I would have heard you, but, you know, participate in a verbal way. We're enjoying it a lot. We start off with a little quote, and then people have a chance to talk about what's going on with them, because the whole point of it is, of course, getting back to center, getting back to the unconditional in times when, for a lot of folks, the voices like to drag them off down into a dark hole somewhere. So it's good. We're enjoying it.
Yes, yes. I listened to part of the show this morning, and I really appreciated your encouragement to keep doing the work that we have been training to do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That whole thing of this is why we practice. This is what we practice for.
Yeah.
When things happen that kind of shake us, the world is not being how we hoped it would be, and that can be, you know, the wide range of things. It's not just political situation, but loss of a job, lots of people. I don't know why that's the case. That's always my take on it. Why do people let people go at this time of year? It seems just so cruel, but it does seem to be a way it's done. So, you know, losing jobs or getting health diagnoses that are, you know, scary or whatever. And so just there are just so many things that are happening all the time in life that we struggle with, and that we need to be have our practice in a state that will support us through those times, whatever they are. So,
yes, yes, we practice all the time, good times, bad times.
Yes, yes. In fact, as we often talk about, practicing during easy times is so much, you know, it's like if you're going to get into shape and you decide that you're going to do it when you have the flu, that's not, you know, that's
yes.
just not as conducive as if you do it when you're feeling, you know, just great and you've had a lot of sleep and, you know, you just feel good and strong. Well, that's a time really to focus on your fitness, because it's going to feel good and it's going to work. And then when you get the flu, you have all that fitness sustaining you and supporting you. So even when it's over, you're not completely decimated. Is that the word I'm looking for? So, yeah. Like that.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make that desire known by pressing *6 and then 1. That's how you make guest show. And a focus on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we are ready here, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Zoe from New Jersey.
Well, hello, Zoe. How are you doing?
Been a while. I'm good. How are you?
Great, great. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I wanted to call in. I was trying to call in for a long time to celebrate after the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat that I went to in July. And so that was one thing that I had wanted to call in about, and sort of what I noticed about it was that because it's like my new normal, you know, it's not something now that I get to feel good about, if that, you know, by conditioning, I guess.
Yeah, so now that orientation is so much a part of your life, you don't get to celebrate it?
Yeah, and also the prediction was that if I publicly celebrated it on the show, that that would mean that somehow I would, that it would go away.
isn't it amazing to see how really primitive our beliefs and assumptions can be?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, when I was growing up, that was called tempting the devil. You know, if you put it out there, it's you know, you have to somehow manipulate the gods to make sure that you get what you want. Right. So if you say that you're happy about something, it's going to be taken away from you. Or if you say you did well with something, then then you have to fail. And it's like, what in the world did that come from? Pretty soon we're going to be, you know, sacrificing animals in fire or something.
Yes, yes, it's pretty irrational. So, but. Yeah, yeah.
And yet, we all know that place, don't we? Yeah, we do. So anyway, you did that retreat. You got it.
Yeah, and then, and there's so much stuff going on, and there's so much stuff I do want to talk about that, like, you know, I called in because I could, and you know, it's like I know that I'm on the slot. I don't know what to talk about because there was that.
Oh, just pick one.
And
just pick one.
And
pick
what,
one
like,
and then call back
for me
about the other one.
Well, I'm excited about the special radio show. I gotta see if I can get in on that. So also. I mean, what I'm sort of struggling with now is anxiety and fear. And I bought the fear book and started, I think I'm halfway through reading it. Because that was a belief, another belief that I had was that fear wasn't, you know, I didn't need to read that book because it was not a part of my life or a big part of my life. And now all of a sudden it's like very forefront and, you know, the anxiety, I was coached, my coach suggested that I might try seeing what accepting the anxiety is like. And I think I have been, like, trying to accept the anxiety.
What does that mean, accept the anxiety?
I don't know. And I don't know how to do it either, but
but you're a good
I don't
person,
know.
So you're trying.
Well, maybe it means that you know, instead of trying so hard not to be anxious, to just like, you know, instead of like trying to like find some secret formula that, you know, or something that I can do to make it go away or to be in control of it. You know, I mean, I think that's probably the idea, which makes a lot of sense.
Well, the piece of it that makes sense is that we can get anxious about being anxious.
Yeah.
Right? Or we can be afraid of getting afraid. And that happens with a lot of people. That's how conditioning makes people's lives smaller and smaller and smaller, because I'm afraid, and I don't want to do anything that makes me afraid, so I don't do anything other than the things that the voices in my head tell me are safe to do, which is really disastrous.
Well, yeah, well, so I'm doing the big scary things, like I'm doing it. And the fear is just, you know, still there. you know, and so, and there is definitely the fear of the fear and the anxiety about the anxiety. Like, I've definitely noticed that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know what I'm going to tell you?
maybe.
Or shall I just go on and tell you? I'll go on and tell you, and then I bet it's going to be very familiar, okay? Those conditions, so anxiety really doesn't exist. There really isn't any such thing as anxiety. It's just like so many things. It's a label that's been put on a set of sensations, and then there's a story in conditioned mind about it. And mm-hmm. that's all it is. It's mm-hmm. not real. Okay? So if I were to call you up and I start talking to you about the pipes in your house breaking and what can happen when the plumbing pipes in your house break. And it's really dangerous in winter especially because it gets so cold. And in so many places, there just isn't, okay? And how long would I need to do this with you before you'd start being anxious about those pipes breaking? And I think that this is a true statement. I could put anybody in a state of anxiety given enough of their time and attention. Because I would just repeat the same stories in a really convincing voice until it just, it's like a, I don't know what it's like, but like something that just creeps into your mind, right? And then mm-hmm. it's there, and then it's repeated, and it's repeated, and it's repeated, mm-hmm. and it's repeated, and it's repeated, right? That's what happens. And so it's a process that we can understand, and it's something that we can stop. And the way we mm-hmm. stop it is that very simple, though I acknowledge not always easy, process of redirecting attention away from that story. Because those sensations in and of themselves can't do anything to you. If that story and that label weren't attached to those sensations, if you know you just dropped down and became a human being here 15 minutes ago and you started feeling those sensations, you'd have no idea what it meant. After you've been around for a while, you think, well, maybe I'm hungry, or maybe I'm excited about something. Maybe it was that beverage that I think they call it coffee that I drank. And you'd be trying to figure out what that feeling is, because it's not anything by itself. It's only anxiety when it's got that label and the stories that go with it. So rather than mm-hmm. accepting the anxiety, that would be my approach. I would disconnect that label from those sensations, and I'd prove to myself that those sensations in and of themselves do not mean anything. They're just in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? True. I mean, they're not even particularly uncomfortable. They're just what is the killer is the story, the conversation.
I get nauseous, and I deal with a lot of things that do feel very uncomfortable in terms of physical
from
sensations
the
because it's
story. From the story.
Yeah.
Right? From the story. So there's a little and the, oh my God, oh no. Oh, that's right. What am I? And about, you know, 15 sentences in, yeah, you're sick at your stomach. So you're getting ready to go somewhere, you know, and I start saying, you know, that plane could crash. It could. You know, they do. They say they don't, but they do. You know they do. Remember that one? Did you see the pictures of it? How long is it going to take before you get sick at your stomach at the thought of that trip.
Yeah.
That's my encouragement. The only thing that's going to change any of it for us, for any of us, is not being in that conversation.
Yeah, and so this reminds me of something, and I know we're probably like out of time. That reminds me of a process that I've seen around the whole thing where I feel like it's easier for the conversation to be, I don't know how to put it into words. Like, I have to, like, I'm referencing conditioned mind to remember things to do during the day, because there's no trust that I will remember to do all of these things. Like, I have to remember a gazillion things. And so I think I'm in that process of referencing that system, which, you know, to sort of get that information around, like, what.
And you know, Zoe? You know
what?
That's why God made recording devices. We don't have to remember. And we certainly don't need to look to conditioned mind to see how we're doing with our remembering. I know. When people stop doing that, it feels like you just stepped off into a giant abyss because people are so accustomed to being in that conversation with the voice in their head all the time.
Yeah, and the conversation is, a lot of it is around, just that, like,
fear.
Remembering.
Anxiety.
Like, it's, and, like, what, like, I don't know how to, I'll definitely see if there's a way that I can incorporate that. It's just,
it's called a little pad of paper and a recording device. And you never have to consult conditioned mind again.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about forgetting things, because what will happen is the intelligence will drop in, and you jot it down on your little piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, you've got your assignment.
All right, thank you so much.
You'll let me know.
I will. I will try to call in again. I've been, thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I blipped out for just a second. Oh, good. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Michael. I blipped out there. All right.
Yeah. Oh, good. You're back. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I'm back. Thank you. Thank you, Zoe.
Yeah, I muted her now. And it's good to hear from Zoe, and we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jeff calling from South Dakota.
Well, hello, Jeff. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, thank you. I'm calling because I talked to you back in the spring a couple of times. And
jobs and heavy lifting and things like that.
Yes, it'd be a very good memory.
Not really. It's just, it drops in. I hear Jeff, I hear Dakota, and it all appears.
Oh, how
very
wonderful.
Handy. It's just what I was telling Zoe about, as a matter of fact. We don't actually have to remember anything. It's just there. It's all in the storage bins of whole mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make a long series of files of all the people that have called into open air, because who could keep track of them all?
So. I let whole mind take care of all of those kinds of details. It's very relaxing.
Wonderful.
So tell me what's going on currently, Jeff.
Well, I called to say that things are going much better, and I wanted to call and thank you and just kind of do a shout out that this stuff really works.
Yes, it does. Indeed, it does. So can you give us some details?
Well, some of your encouragement to me was to, one, to start recording and listening practice, which really is fantastic. I think until I really started doing that consistently, I was never really able to step, you know, when my voices would start attacking me, there was really nobody that was stepping forward to shield that or, and so now I feel like I have an internal friend that can stop that and say enough is enough, and it's really reduced my kind of uncomfortable upsetness or labeled anxiety sort of thing. So
that's a really good point, Jeff. So there we are on our own with these voices in the head that we clearly have no control over and are just running the show. I mean, once we catch on to that. Before that, we were having all the experiences, right? There's I don't like this, and I don't feel like that, and I don't want that, and that's wrong, and he's this, and she's that, and then there's the, well, what's going to happen with this, and oh, my God, and how are you going to, that form of it. And for a long time, of course, people don't even know that it's going on. They just think they're
right.
Thinking. Mm-hmm. And then you catch on that, wait a minute, this is the whole thing happening inside my head, and I'm actually able to watch it. I can step back and see it, but I can't do anything about it. I know it's there, but I can't do anything about it. It's so much bigger and stronger than I am, and you're all alone. And then, as you say, you start a recording and listening practice, and suddenly you realize that not only are you not alone, but you have somebody on your side, and what you have on your side is way more powerful than those voices.
It's really quite a gift. It's just marvelous. I guess
yes.
It's kind of that ending suffering thing that you talk about.
Right. Yeah. It's a big part of that, isn't it? It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And the other thing that I noticed just in practicing with meditation and listening to archives and doing recording and listening is that the voices become more clear. A lot of times I would experience them almost subliminally, their criticism or things, and I would say feel the agitation, but wouldn't actually hear the criticism. And now the voices are like speak up like right away more, which is actually good because then I can deal with them.
Yes. Yes, yeah. And it's hard to know. It's a funny thing, the more we practice, it's hard to know whether they were quieter before or I just wasn't there before.
Mm.
You know, now you're really there and you're paying attention to what's happening. And so it's all available for you in a way that it wasn't before. People talk about how the voices get very, get very tricky. It's like they don't, at a certain point, they stop talking out loud. They just sort of raise eyebrows and, look askance and all of that sort of thing. But when we're there, it's still it's all the same messages, right? When we're present, nothing can hide.
Yes, yes. And then from listening to the archives and for things, advice and things that you've given, sometimes that voice is good direction because you know you should do just the opposite of what that voice is telling you.
Precisely. Yes. Yes.
Just,
oh, don't go there. Oh, don't look there. No, don't look there. Oh, I have to look there. Yeah.
Just, in fact, I'm calling in because yesterday I was listening to an archive, and it was beautiful, and it was just so good. And I thought, oh, I'm just going to have to call in tomorrow and tell Sherry that I'm doing better and to thank her very much because I am doing better. And boy, the voice came right in and said, "You're not doing better.
Don't do that.
What about this, that, or that?
Yeah, you're not doing that well. Don't be silly. Don't call in." Yeah.
So.
And then we get to that point, thank goodness, where it is funny. You know, where we can laugh at them because it's just it's so childish, so silly, really. Once we catch on to it, before we do, it's not that at all. It's really scary for people.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
all right.
That's just what I wanted to report in on, and I'll call some other, you know, time in the future.
Stay in touch.
More guidance.
Stay in touch.
Just a big shout out to, boy, that this is just great, great stuff.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's so affordable, which is one of the things I like best about it. Mm-hmm. We can do it anytime. It under any circumstances, we're completely autonomous in that way. It's just between, you know, that expression, it's between you and your God. Well, it really is. As it turns out, that's a true statement. And so we can just turn to that which animates us and supports us and cares for us anytime, middle of the night, never alone, always have that support, always have that unconditional love. It's really good.
Yes, just lovely. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, Sherry, and
thank you,
Michael,
Deb,
as well.
Take care. Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Great to get those updates, Sherry, those good news updates.
Yeah, it is. You wonder, you know, what happens with people? How are they doing? And it's very kind when people let us know. The voices would say, oh, they don't even know who you are. They don't care what you're doing. Just shut up and suffer. But in fact, we do care and do want to know.
Yes.
That's why we stick together, right?
Yes. And, you know, even on the first call, they become our friend, and then we want to know what
happened. Right. That's right.
How everybody's doing, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to hear from our coaching program, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen awareness coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then programs to find Zen awareness coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Well, hello, Patty.
Hi.
How goes it with Patty?
Okay. I'm glad to get on. I've been trying to get on for months. I wanted to call back and report back on the whole swimming fear thing that we talked about. I think it was in July.
Oh, yes. When was it? When did we talk about that?
I think it was the beginning of July.
Wow. Yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah, I've been trying to call in for a long time. And other things have arisen since then, most notably that my mom had a stroke about a month ago. Yeah, and it's a pretty bad stroke. And there's been a lot that's been coming up around that. So I'm kind of torn because I wanted to give you an update on the swimming, but I also wanted to talk about my mom and, you know, what's coming up around that.
Well, let's do both then. First swimming and then mom. How about that?
Okay. Well, I wanted to tell you that I never gave up on the swimming. I just kept going. And
good for you.
And there, thank you. Yeah, it was
huge.
There was a lot of fear that still kept coming up, you know, and I just kept, you know, doing whatever I needed to do to make myself feel comfortable and safe. And I think the most important thing was to just not let conditioning turn it into a contest, you know, or have any sort of assessment about how it's going. And to just see my swimming as the same way that I look at meditation. You know, I just show up and I meditate. I don't, you know, I don't go, well, that was a terrible meditation, or, you know,
you don't look to conditioned mind to give its opinion about how you're doing your life.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So if there was a day where I felt fear in the pool, you know, or I wasn't able to, you know, do a full workout, I just didn't let the voices say anything about that. You know, I just would talk to the mentor, and the mentor would say, great job. You know, you're doing great. You're showing up.
Yep. Yep.
You know, that's all that matters, is that we're showing up for ourselves, you know, and,
the thing, Patty, that we can all take from that is nothing means anything.
Uh-huh.
Right? It doesn't mean anything, because that's what those voices are counting on. They say something, and we will take a meaning from that that is going to do something to us.
Mm-hmm.
So you sit down to meditate, and this is the meditation you have. Good. You meditated. Mm-hmm. Good. It's not, there's no comparing it. There's no deciding this was a good one, that wasn't. You're getting this where you're, you know, and this is the swim you have. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's
exactly.
So important to learn that so we can apply it to everything. Nobody has a right to express an opinion about how we're doing, especially not a disembodied voice inside our head. So important
right.
to get. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, that was basically it. That was the real key, was to just to see it like meditation. It's my swimming meditation, and it doesn't matter what happens when I get there. It's, you know, the important thing is that I keep doing it.
Your job is to show up and pay attention. That's it. Not to conclude anything. Not to make any meanings. You're not improving. You're not. You're not anything. You're not meeting standards.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to show up and pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And I saw how, you know, the voices would try to talk to me while I was in the water. You know, they would come in with their scary stories about what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just practice turning my attention away from that, you know, just over and over and over. And one other really important thing that I noticed during that process was that there was a physical sensation of the water kind of going between my toes as I was kicking. And that physical sensation was being interpreted by conditioning to mean that my toe is going to cramp, you know. So, like, I would feel that, and then the stories would start up. Oh, this means that your toe is going to cramp. And then I realized, after paying attention, It doesn't mean my toe is going to cramp. It just, yep. that's just how it feels when the water goes between my toes. It was like this perfectly normal, natural sensation that had gotten twisted into something to be afraid of.
Oh, my God, Patty. I'm telling you, if we could just take that little paragraph and just bottle it and give it away everywhere, that is exactly what human beings are up against, and that's the way out of it. Right there. You can apply that story to everything that it, that conditioning does to anybody about anything. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, I will say, is why conditioning works so hard to keep you from having that experience. Because that's what you are going to realize. Now, what the voices would say is that they're trying to protect you because you're going to drown. Right? Mm-hmm. They're actually trying to take care of you by pointing out how dangerous this is and getting you to stop. No, quite the opposite. So you stay with it, you get to the other side, and you realize that whole thing was completely bogus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on a regular basis, I am amazed and so grateful that I was able to stick with this and that I did get to the other side of the fear, you know, and
that you learned a process to apply to any and everything that comes up for the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a paradox because when I gave up having goals about this, not needing to make, quote, progress, you know, or to get anywhere with it, when I let go of that, I actually did get to the other side of the fear, you know, and it's to the point now where I can swim for, you know, 20, 25 minutes straight and not have any fear at all. So it's pretty awesome. It's just been this amazing workshop.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm, go ahead. You go ahead.
Well, I was just going to do the little Zen phrase that goes with it. The quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention, which is what you're describing. You turned your attention away from those voices and conditioned mind. You brought it to conscious awareness in the present, and everything transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say that another gift that drop in with all of this is that when my mother had her stroke, I started going out to visit like pretty often. Mm-hmm. And it's about a 45-minute drive on a good day. it can be even longer than that. I'm devoting a lot of time to going out to visit her, and I knew that I didn't want to let my exercise and my self-care fall by the wayside during all of this. And so one of the first things that I did was I looked up pools in the area where her hospital was, and actually found one. I'm a member of the YMCA, and so I use my YMCA membership to go to this pool that's 10, 15 minutes away from her hospital. And so I've been able to keep up my swimming, even while visiting her, you know, three or four times a week. And on top of that, this pool is great. It's like, so it's not crowded. It's heated and much warmer than the pool that I normally swim in. And, and it's just, and there's no deep end. Like, that's the other thing that was so great about it, is that the whole, it doesn't get any deeper than 4.5 feet. So it's like this perfect little environment for me to swim in. It just feels so safe and comforting. And I've had some of the most peaceful moments in the past month in that pool.
And it's, again, one of those things that had you listened to the coaching inside Conditioned Mind, you would not have been able to do, right? Not going to visit your mother would have become burdensome because mm-hmm. you have to give up your swimming. You're not yeah. taking care of yourself. The pressure, the anxiety, all of that begins to build. Then you have to feel bad because here's your poor mother. She's had a stroke. And how selfish are you that mm-hmm. that you don't want to give up your time to go visit her? We can just see it, right? Slide
mm-hmm.
into
oh yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. maximum suffering. But instead, being open to life, dropping in insights, and you following up, because that's what you've practiced to do, it all works out perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you just described, I mean, I definitely heard those stories. How dare you take time to go swimming
oh, yeah.
When you're
oh, yeah.
in the hospital?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And so how is your mother doing?
Well, she's doing better than she was a month ago. But, the mm-hmm. you know, the changes are very, very small. And, it's very incremental. And mm-hmm. she has some better days and she has some worse days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like for the past couple of times that I visited her, she wasn't feeling so great and seemed kind of down. And so I think the main practice that I've been doing is just really trying to remember that there is nothing wrong with any of this, contrary to
yeah.
what pretty much all of conditioned society would say. I know, deep down from center that there is nothing wrong with this because it's what's happening.
Yes. Yes. And the title of our little morning show, taken from a quote by whomever, Ashwini will text Michael and tell him what it is, but seeing through the eyes of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get to a belief that there's something wrong when what we're practicing is seeing through the eyes of love.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All we see is there are some life circumstances that challenge us more than others, that require us
yeah.
to grow to a deeper place. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Because
mm-hmm.
if you were not somebody who was willing to go to a deeper place, you would have given up on that foot swimming thing a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And so
yeah.
we know the places in ourselves where we are challenged like that, and we go to that deeper place and we find a greater love. And then, of course, depending on what the circumstances are, we're tempted once again to go back to that. But, oh, my gosh, I mean, this poor woman, and this is
mm-hmm.
what's happened, and it's so awful. And,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we hope for both of you mm-hmm. a deeper love.
Mhm.
Mhm. You know, one that contains all of it. The sadness, the disappointment, the fear, I don't want to face this, it's too hard. A love that contains all of it. Because love does contain all of that.
Right. Right. It's very painful to watch somebody, that I love so much going through this.
Yeah.
And that pain is not the same thing as suffering.
That's right.
You know, so that's
right.
I've definitely been seeing that. That's one of the kind of lessons that I've been learning this whole time.
Yes.
Because it is that level of pain, emotional pain from seeing somebody I love go through this. I don't think I've ever experienced that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, maybe with my dog when she was dying, but I mean, this is my mom, you know, and
right.
It's rough.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
It's very rough. It's very rough. And the point that you're making that I think is really critical for all of us to consider is that either we endure the pain and stay present with what is and with our loved one, or we go with ego and let it be turned into suffering, which is all about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a universal process. We see it all the time. It's so tempting to do. And that's one of the places that we practice with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't stay with her because it's too painful for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And, yeah,
right.
when we step back, we go, wait a minute, I can't be with her because it causes me too much suffering. Well, what must this be like for her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
it's
I mean, I had the experience very early on when this first happened of conditioning just talking to me nonstop while I was next to her, you know, about how, you know, how projecting about how she must be feeling and what she must be thinking. And I have to say the right things and I have to, you know, do something about this.
Yeah.
And it was just
yeah.
on and on and on, you know, and it was like this conversation was completely taking me away from the experience of just being present with her in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I saw that and I was able to let it go, like that's when, you know, it stopped being hell. You know, then it was like, yeah, it's
yeah.
painful, but it's not the same. It's not like that hell because
that's right.
that the pain is there's love in that. If that
that's right.
If I'm
and the one it's so against what we're conditioned to believe, but that pain is actually heart opening. That pain helps us to love more, whereas the suffering closes our hearts in exactly the way that you said. It just, you know, I'm there physically, but I'm not there mentally, emotionally, or spiritually because I'm completely absorbed in a
mm-hmm.
conversation in conditioned mind that is deepening the ego attachment that I struggle with.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Hmm.
Yep.
Life is big, Patty. You've noticed that.
I have noticed that. Well,
yeah.
I want to get off so that you can get at least one more caller in. But thank you.
Well, thank you. It's great to be able to catch up with you. So I really appreciate it.
I will
you take good care of yourself.
Soon. Thank you. I will.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. Very heartfelt conversation there, Sherry.
Mm. Life is just big. It's just big. It's just,
it is big.
Yeah. It's really amazing. You know, I project, we all know those places that are, you know, where it's kind of easy, all things considered. And it's wonderful when that's the case, but not that far away from us. Life is being really big for an awful lot of people, and we can know that soon, before long, not in that tempting the devil way, but just because that's the way it is, it's going to be really big for us too. And holding one another's holding hands. Holding that in our conscious awareness of how much so many people are going through at any given moment.
Yes. And we have time for another caller here, Sherry.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, this is Shaz.
Hi, how are you doing? Gosh.
I am so shocked that I'm on the hotline.
I know. How amazing is that?
So since we don't have that much time, I'm going to actually you earlier said something on the call that you do not... You just remember things. You don't have to go to your conditioned mind to refer to anything. It's just there. They just appear.
Things just appear. Yeah.
So my question is, do you not have a to-do list? Do you not make a to-do list so you remember things?
I do a combination. I do kind of what I suggested to Zoe. Okay, so yes, writing things down, I do, because I'm often fond of pointing to my head and saying, you know, there's nothing going on in there, and I like it that way. It's just this, you know, this kind of open space, which is very relaxing. And I don't want to have to think about anything. I don't want to have to remember anything. So I do write things down. Now, but part of this habit of not being too dialed into things like that is that sometimes I don't look at my list, but not very often. And I usually find those things enjoyable, because if I don't do something, it probably didn't need to get done anyway, or it was a spiritual opportunity for me or something like that. So I just don't worry about that. Yeah.
I guess because I have a list, and I almost cannot exist without the list. So it's really for me, it's so hard for me to understand when you just say that I guess it requires trust. I'm just going to just...
Yes. I was just going to say to you, now it's not a secret, I'm a religious type. Right, and so I have tremendous faith and trust, whichever those words people happen to relate to. I have both of those, that I am completely taken care of, that my life is absolutely guided, that I don't need to fret or worry or think about anything, because then this is that woo place, right? I don't think that there's a me living this life. I think this life is being lived, and what we call I or me is the great gift of being very close at hand while that's happening.
I'm just taking it in.
is
there just silence on the other end? So I cannot even imagine what it would be like. I mean, I'm always talking to something that seems to care that, you know, I make it through the day, I have to think about things at work, and so I am conversing. So I guess I'm not sure my
is it
all
kind, Chaz? Chaz, is it kind? Is the conversation kind?
Well, at work, it's just very strategic. You know, I have to do certain tasks, So it's kind of guiding me. It's just, I guess sometimes it's kind and sometimes it's not kind. When it's not kind, it's easier. Then I understand that's the conditioned mind. But I'm talking about the voice that when it's guiding me, okay, this is what you need to do next. And don't do that. And for example, after work today, I was really down. I was looking at some stuff in the news, and I wanted to go eat something, and I didn't. Like, don't do that.
So it feels like you have a friend going along in your day with you. So you've got a pal who says, now, remember, you want to get your umbrella, or make that call now before you do that kind of thing.
Yes,
but that's it.
So
that's
still
the
it's still a voice, you know. But then it can switch into something else, you know. I mean, then it can switch, but it has the same tone. The only thing that's different is it's kinder. So I guess it's not like it's not so obvious with this. It may even sometimes it can even have a gentle tone and not feel
good.
So that's why I get, where am I? And I guess it will just take time to distinguish what's what.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And to me, that's the point of awareness practice. That's what we're doing. And the faith and trust, it to me is the guidance in that you cannot make a mistake. You don't have to worry about making a mistake, because you're going to see something. So if you listen, you know, the voice comes in, it's the snake, right? And it says, you've worked so hard all week and been so good. Why don't you buy that cake on the way home and don't tell anybody you have it, and then you'll be able to eat the entire thing yourself. You ever had anything like that? Or pick up that bottle of special whiskey that you love so much and put it at the bottom of your bag. And it sounds like, I mean, if you're not paying attention, you think, wow, that sounds like a really good idea. Yeah, I want to do that. And then you do it, right? And, of course, the voices of self-hate want to come in and beat you up because you have this hangover. And all that happened is you got to see something. You got a little more clarity, and you wouldn't have known what you know now if you hadn't had that experience then. So there's no beatings, there's no anything. It's like, you know, it's like being, Ram Dass talked about this, you know, it's like being in school. That this plane of existence is like being in school. And we just have the, you know, the textbooks are open, and it's a practicum, right? We're having all of these experiences, and we're seeing and we're learning. And the negative, the self-hating voices wanting to beat us up, just slow us down. That's all.
All right. Well, thank you, Sherry. I know we've come to the time, but I just wanted to say one thing. You talked about this food program, and it's not on your website. That's coming up on. I mean, I cannot find it. So, you know, that upcoming class that you said to sign up for the 30th.
The mentoring with food. Okay. You know, I don't know either, and we're probably too late for Ashwini to be able to text it into us.
Sure. I'm just letting you know. And I did send I sent an email a while ago, but I haven't got anything. So I'm just throwing it out there. And thank you, Sherry.
Okay, good. Well, noted, and we'll make sure that somebody gets back with you to let you know how to find that, because those are really fun programs. So, yeah. All right. Very good. Thanks for letting us know, and thanks for checking in. Great talking with you as always.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Good night. And Michael, thank you. Thank you for for making this available for us once again. And
my pleasure.
And talk to you soon, huh? Oh, you have the information. Oh, that Ashwini is good, isn't she? What is it?
Yes. Not about signing up, but I think that you were asking about the quote, seeing through the eyes of love.
Uh-huh.
And Thomas Akempis, translated by Eknath Iswaran.
All right.
If I have the correct reference there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay, and so we'll get the other information to Shaz ASAP. All right.
Wonderful.
Thank you again, sir. Take good care.
Sherry.
Good night.
You too. Good night.